one of us tonight. Matthew chapter 11, verse 7 says, as they departed, Jesus began to say unto the multitude, talking to the crowd concerning John, what went ye out into the wilderness to see? A reed shaken with the wind? Verse 8 says, but what went you out for to see? A man clothed in soft raiment? Behold, they that wear soft clothing are in the king's houses. Verse 9 says, but what went ye out for to see? A prophet. Yea, I say unto you, and more than a prophet. Amen. And I've got a similar question for the church here tonight. What are you looking for? What did you come out to see tonight? Amen. And not even just tonight, but every time you come to the house of the Lord, what do you come looking for? Amen. Why don't we lay down our Bibles and ask the Lord to talk to us tonight, show us from His Word. God, we trust You. Hallelujah. I thank You for Your touch. I thank You for what I feel, the confidence. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. God, Your Word is true, God, and faithful. It's a rock that I can stand upon, my foundation. Pray, God, that, Lord, what little I have to offer tonight, that You would multiply it, that find its mark in the hearts of Your people. I pray in the name of Jesus. Why don't you thank the Lord for His presence? Thank the Lord for His goodness tonight. Hallelujah. Are you thankful for His goodness tonight? Hallelujah, Jesus. I love You, Savior. I love You, Savior. Oh, I thank You, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Go ahead and magnify the Lord together tonight. Jesus, You're worthy, You're worthy, You're worthy, You're worthy. Hallelujah, hallelujah, amen. You could be seated in the presence of the Lord. I feel His presence tonight. Amen, I'm not just saying that. Amen, I really do. I feel His touch. And while I came up here a little bit, honestly, concerned about the direction and what I should say, I got plenty to say. I've got notes and notes and notes that I could say, but what is it that the Lord would have for me to share tonight? I came to the platform, I just mentioned and told Pat, I don't know what I'm going to do, and he just smiles at me. But as I read my text, I feel the Spirit of the Lord settling down upon me. So I do feel like what I have for you tonight is in the will of the Holy Ghost. But an important key tonight is that we all bind together in the unity of the Spirit. Amen. It's not enough for a man of God to come behind the pulpit and just share a good sermon. Amen. Because all that ends up being is just a sermonette. And I don't want to preach a sermonette tonight. Amen. But what I'm here tonight to do is share with you what the word of the Lord is. Amen. I have a process that I go through pretty regularly. You can find, if you were to open my phone and get access to my notes, there's a folder in there that just has preaching thoughts on it. And as I get impressed or a thought comes to my mind that maybe that'll work something out, then I will just jot it down, and whatever information I have at the time, I'll just incorporate into that note, and then I'll save it for later. Perhaps there's a better way of doing it, but that's just the way that I have developed, and it seems to work for me, at least to the extent that it's working. Amen. But over the course of the past month or so, a thread, a common theme has appeared in those notes, and it's really what has evolved or compiled into the lesson or the message that I have here for you tonight. And it's been working over and over and over in my mind, and I was really just kind of looking for the right time. I'm not trying to build this up, not trying to make it anything more than it is. I just want you to understand where things are coming from, the context here. And so as it's been rolling around in my mind, as I've been thinking, I was studying this afternoon, and I said, man, I don't know if this is right, but this is all I've got, and so I'm going to work on this. And so I did. I began to work on this, and several thoughts came to my mind. There's a passage we'll read in just a little bit, Ezekiel 33. Don't want to put it on the wall just yet, but we'll read it in just a minute. And then the thought Just the simple statement, it's time to make a commitment. Don't stand on the sidelines anymore. And then I had this other note, and forgive me because I'm just sharing with you my uninterpreted notes. But the other one I had was just looking or just staring. And I've mentioned this in the past, but I went to a youth conference, and I honestly don't even remember where it was, but it was recent, let's say within the last 10 years. And so recent is relative, right? Recent back in the day would not be 10 years, but for me, I guess now recent would be 10 years. But anyway, I don't know exactly the time and where it was or who it was, but I looked across the congregation, and I saw a bunch of blank stares. We're talking about young people who presumably a lot of them had grown up in the church. They had been living for God, and they were just staring. They were just staring during the worship time, during the prayer time, during the preaching, and even during the altar service. I looked, and it caught me off guard. I didn't understand what was going on. I don't understand. I can't imagine what is going through the mind of those who, when the Spirit of God is moving so freely, so evidently among us, amen, that we can just have our minds elsewhere. And I do want to preface this. I want to say that I don't want to impose this upon anybody here tonight. I'm just telling you a story of what I witnessed in the past about being at this youth conference. And so that was reeling around in my mind as I've wrote some of these notes down, just staring, just having a blank stare, just looking. And I've heard it said by a pastor many, many times, perception is reality. Your perception, what you perceive is what it becomes manifest to you, what becomes real. And I think that's true. You can only conceive or develop the things that you perceive. If you actually understand what you are looking at, then you can iterate from there. But if you don't have any real understanding of what is going on, what you are looking at, what you are perceiving, then you can't really go anywhere from there. The first obligation, that's why it's so important that we understand the basis of doctrine. That's why it's so important that what we heard this morning, the essentiality of knowing truth. Jesus said, search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. This is the basis upon which we should build everything that we do, everything we believe. And so, anyway, let me, I'm trying to establish an introduction here, but our perception, what we understand, is probably a better way of saying our when I say perception, that becomes reality. I think that's true from in the physical state, because you can only see what you could see. But I think that applies intellectually as well. What you actually perceive, what you understand, is your reality. Did you hear what so-and-so said? Did you see what this person said at work the other day? Did you feel, whatever? And those are your various perceptions, and they sculpt your understanding of that person or the situation that you're dealing with or looking at. And so your perception does define your reality. But I want to posit for you that if that's true, if perception defines reality, then what defines our perception? And I want to submit to you tonight that your expectation defines your perception. What you're expecting to see. What you are looking for helps you know, helps you. Helps. Let me try to back up. What you're looking for helps you see what you can see. Does that make sense? I hope so. Can't think of a better way to say it. Your expectation when you go into let me make an application here. When you go into a room, actually here's a better one. I'm reading scripture or reading a book. Many times I will skip over words because a word pops in there that I didn't expect. And so I, instead of reading the word, I skip over that word. Now, oftentimes I would make fun of people for doing that because when I was younger, because I'd hear them like, don't you see the words right there? And but as you get older, you get a lot more on your mind, and you're expecting a lot more. You have a lot more distractions. And so those little words, the things that you're not expecting, they catch you off guard. The same is true when you walk into a room. You can very easily just bypass somebody or something. Amen. If you're not expecting it, if you're not expecting it to be there. And I want to take you to a passage of Scripture where a man responded to the preacher based on his expectation. And I'm telling you, it literally defined what he could see. 2 Kings chapter 7, verse 1 tells us, then Elisha said, hear ye the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord, tomorrow about this time shall a measure of fine flour be sold for a shekel. Now, this is a setting. The setting here is in 2 Kings that there is a severe famine occurring in this city, Samaria. City has been taken under siege by the Syrians, and they, because of the whatever defense mechanisms were established, these folks couldn't leave the city. They were locked in. They couldn't exit the city, and therefore, when they ran out of any kind of produce or food or anything, that was it. They ran out. They couldn't get any more, and that was the plan of the enemy, was to just starve them out. And so they developed a severe, severe famine to the point where literally mothers were trading their children, and cannibalism was involved. It had come to such dire situations that this entire city was considering the prospect of cannibalizing their own children. But the prophet comes in and he says, by this time, within 24 hours, by this time tomorrow, shall a measure of fine flour be sold for a shekel. And they said, okay, that would be nice. That would be great. But right now we're eating our children. It doesn't seem very likely to those who are looking on. Said, a measure of fine flour shall be sold for a shekel, 2 measures of barley for a shekel, in the gate of Samaria. Then a lord on whose hand the king leaned answered the man of God. This is a man who had some prestige, apparently. He was depended on by the king. Perhaps had given the king advice in the past. One, and this is just my imagination, but this is my perception here, that this man, he carried some weight. The king trusted him. And so the man felt like he had liberty to say what he was thinking. If the king would listen to me, if those who are making decisions would listen to me, then perhaps I've got something that's worth saying. And so he decided to share his perspective. And his perspective was this: the Lord on whose the hand the king leaned answered the man of God and said, behold, if the Lord would make windows in heaven, might this thing be? And he said, behold, thou shalt. This is the prophet responding. Let me just pause. The man, from a purely logical perspective, he said, we would need a miracle for this to happen. We would need something significant, something substantial, as it were, even the very windows of heaven to open if this is going to happen. He just doubted what the preacher had said. He shared his perspective. That was his perception. But the preacher responded and said, behold, thou shalt see it with thine eyes, but shall not eat thereof. I'm here to tell you that his expectation defined what he could see, what he could perceive, what he could even believe. Amen. And in this passage, we see the judgment of the Lord upon this man. It was pretty harsh that he would see it, but he would not be able to partake But if he had been able to see what the man of God was saying, if he had been able to believe what the man of God was preaching that day, then I believe that he would have been able to partake, to eat with the many others that enjoyed of what God gave to them, to that city. Amen. But because his perception limited what he could see, because what he was looking for was different than what the preacher was saying, then he couldn't see it. All right? What do you go looking for? What are you looking for tonight? Matthew 11, 7, our text, as they departed, Jesus began to say unto the multitudes concerning John, what went you out into the wilderness to see? Let's swap the word wilderness. Now, I'm just taking creative license. I'm making application tonight. I'm not interpreting the word here. But swap the wilderness word out and let's make it more applicable to us today. Let's talk about church. Let's talk about going to our own prayer closet, going into our personal area of consecration to the Lord. What do you go there for? What is the motivation? What are you expecting when you arrive there? Amen. Do you believe that what you're doing matters? Do you believe, amen, that what's going on is important? Do you expect what we heard about, amen, this morning, the previous weeks, under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost, the miracles, the wonders, the signs, the infilling of the Holy Ghost? I'm here to tell you this morning, amen, that God was pouring out his Spirit in this place, amen, and there were some that came, amen, expecting to see it. That's why God began to give and to show and to share what he had available. Amen. God's got more than enough available for us in this place tonight. Amen. But he goes by what we see, what we're looking for. What'd you come out to see tonight? What'd you come out into the wilderness to see? Did you come? Here's a few options that the Lord gave to them. He said, firstly, a reed shaken in the wilderness. Now, when you go out to the wilderness, a reed shaken with the wind. When you go to the wilderness, I don't know what the topography, the topography of the land was, what the type of plants and shrubs that were in that area that Jesus was talking about, but apparently there would be reeds there. So Jesus said, did you come out just to watch the grass blowing in the wind? Did you come out to watch the tumbleweeds roll across the land? What is that why you came out here? Did you come out here to hear? Or did you come out here to just see the sky, the sun in the sky, and see the trees blowing in the wind? Did you come to hear the chirping of the birds, or perhaps did you come? And of course, as in this case, all these things are expected. When you go into the wilderness, you expect wildlife. You expect the uncontrolled things in that area. Just let nature take its course. That's what you would expect. And friend, that's what I believe that some do come expecting. When they come into the house of the Lord, they go into their prayer closet. They go and they just expect the ordinary. They just expect what is normally there. What I'm not expecting anything out of the ordinary. I'm not expecting any kind of miracle. I'm not looking for anything special. I'm just gonna put in my time. I'm just gonna check the box. Hallelujah. It's a reed shaken in the wind. And then the other option was, did you come to see a man clothed in soft raiment? What? A man clothed in soft raiment? You don't usually see that in the wilderness. So some, Jesus, I believe, is saying that they come expecting something totally out of the ordinary. Something that is just not within, and I don't want to paint this, I'm not suggesting that this is what God is looking for. I'm saying that they totally come expecting something completely off kilter, totally out of order. Let me put it that way. Totally not even possible. Because he said that you're not going to find those men in soft clothes in the wilderness. What you'll find soft clothes on men in the king's houses. So if you want to see men with soft clothes, you don't come to the wilderness. You go to a different place. Go somewhere else. Because you're not going to find that around here. That's what I believe Jesus was saying is some of you come, and some of you come with an expectation that we can soften things up a little bit, that maybe perhaps we could just we can become more cultural and more cultured in our worship and fit better in to what society has in its mind, what the larger churches are doing. But let me just tell you that there are other churches that have that. And so you could just go to the, if that's what you're looking for, then you can find that in other places. And then the third option that Jesus gave was this. What came you out to see? A prophet? This is verse 9. Yea, I say unto you, and more than a prophet. If this is truly what you're looking for, preacher, I'm looking for a word from God. I came sincere in my spirit with an earnest desire. I've been lost. I'm looking for some direction. I feel the Holy Ghost right now. I feel like that's some of us here tonight, that they came, amen, God, I don't know where my next step should be. I don't know where I should go next. I'm trying to make good decisions, amen, but I don't even know the right questions, amen, to find the right answers. Hallelujah. But I'm here to tell you what you're looking for, amen, whether you know it or not, is a word from God. What you're looking for is a man, amen, that's willing to spend time in a prayer room, amen, looking and seeking out the mind of God so you can have some direction. And if that's what you're looking for, my friend, I'm here to tell you that God will supply. I'm here to tell you that God will provide. I'm here to tell you that God will give you what you're looking for and more than what you're looking for. He's going to give you more than what you're looking for. Not just an answer to that prayer you've been praying. I said that it's not just the practical or the logical steps that should come next, but he's going to give you a spirit, a new life, a new hope, a new joy. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. The woman at the well, she said, our fathers came here to worship. And Jesus said, you don't even know what worship means. Amen. When you come to this place, this is more, amen, than just a tradition. Amen. So many people go to church and to them it's just tradition. Mama did it. Daddy did it. Grandma did it. Grandpa did it. Amen. This is what I know is right. And I believe that some of that is good. I do. I believe some of it is good. You know why? Because it's the thing that drives us to where we ought to be. It's the thing that puts in us that sensitivity to something greater than ourselves. Something that has come before ourselves. We're not just stuck in our own life and solving problems with our own solutions. But I have to believe that mom and dad had to face this. Had to believe that grandma and perhaps they found it in that old church. Perhaps they found it in that old prayer closet. And I'm here to tell you, if you go looking, I can't speak to what your parents went looking for. I can't speak to what your grandparents and those who have influence over you have been looking for. But what I can do is try to help you focus in on what are you looking for? What exactly are you looking for? Because if it's a word from God, amen, then it's available in this house tonight. If it's some direction, then God's got it. Amen. On supply. His shelves are stocked full. Amen. All you got to do is come and take of the abundant quantity. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hey, I said some were just looking for ordinary things, and then some were looking for the wrong things. Amen. But I'm asking, what are you looking for? What are you looking for tonight? Hallelujah. There was a good song, amen, there, that I heard this morning. I never heard this song before. Before I read this, the lyrics on this song, let me read this passage. Ezekiel 33:31 tells us that they came unto thee as the people cometh, and they sit before thee as my people, and they hear thy words, but they will not do them. For with their mouth they show much love, but their heart goeth after their covetousness. Verse 32, and lo, thou art unto them as a very lovely song of one that hath a pleasant voice and can play well on an instrument. For they hear thy words, but they do them not. This is a passage I mentioned in my opening remarks that was rolling over. I mean, it seems to me, Pastor, that churches, modern churches today, the thing they have on offer is great entertainment. All they really have is tremendous vocalists and perhaps pretty sermons. Amen. But I'm here to tell you tonight, amen, as the Lord spoke to Ezekiel in Ezekiel 33, he revealed to him that, amen, that they just come to listen to you just like they listen to their favorite song. They listen to you, and they're not really paying attention to the words. They're really getting more out of the melody and the strumming and the beat and the style of the music. And they're not paying attention to the words. Amen. But child of God, I'm asking you tonight, what are you looking for? Did you come just to hear the songs and the beats or the entertainment? Amen. Because if that's what you're looking for, I'm here to tell you, there's greater performances that can be found. Amen. There's greater preachers that can be found. Amen. But if you're looking simply for a word from God, amen, then this is where you ought to be. What are you looking for? What are you looking for? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. This young lady, it's a modern song. I didn't even know this lady. I've never heard her before. But the song caught me off guard. I wasn't expecting it. I wasn't looking for this. In fact, I was kind of making fun of some of the songs that my wife listens to, and I was making fun of them. And then this song comes out and starts like this. This isn't easy for me to admit. I got a fire inside and some words I know I can't keep in. I see faith turning into a show of Sundays and sermons and words getting caught in the flow. Oh, but we got real pain and real fears, thirsting for the drying of our tears. It's not satisfying anymore. Ain't it true that the veil was torn? I don't need stained glass to be washed in his blood. I don't need perfect, put together, pretty words to be enough. No, I want Jesus and his real love. I couldn't say it any better. There's real pain in this world. There are real fears in this world. There are real tears streaming down the faces of people in this city. Your neighbors, your friends, your coworkers that are looking for something, amen, but they don't quite know what it is. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I hear the plea of a young lady who perhaps has attended these great mega churches and has heard, amen, has attended on Sundays, amen, has heard the sermons and the beautiful songs, amen, but she says, I'm tired of it. I'm tired of it. It's not satisfying me anymore. I can't put up with this anymore. There's got to be something more. I've come looking for something other than what I can find in this place. Ooh, hallelujah. What are you looking for tonight, church? What are you looking for? Hallelujah. I'm getting ready to close. Don't have much longer. Hallelujah. I believe there are some in this room tonight that have come expecting. Their eyes wide open. Hey, I'm looking for something. Sister Tori, you could come. The Lord says in Matthew 11, verse 10, for this is he. Talking about John. Let's back up to verse 9 and read again and set the context. It says verse 9, what went ye out for to see? Okay, this is the passage we were just dealing with. A prophet? Yea, I say unto thee, and more than a prophet. Verse 10, for this is he of whom it is written, behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare the way before thee. He's going to show you the way. He's going to give you some direction. He's going to help you understand what next steps you should take. The steps, the Bible says, of a good man are ordered by the Lord. Amen. The Old Testament, you can begin to play. The Old Testament tells us that I will hide your word in my heart that I might not sin against God. He said, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. It will illuminate the way that we should go. That's what the word of God will do for you. Hallelujah. If we could all stand together tonight. Acts 1 and 9 tells us a story immediately after the ascension of Jesus. When he had died and was resurrected, spent time with his disciples and followers. He comes to this place and he ascends into heaven. We'll read what he said in just a moment, but the Bible says in Acts 1 and 9 that when he had spoken these things while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, ye men of Galilee, what are you looking for? They said, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? The same Jesus which is taken up from you into heaven shall so come in like manner as you have seen him go into heaven. What are you looking for, apostles? The onus is now on you. And even for these men who were the forefront of the apostolic church after Jesus' ascension, they were the ones left holding the bag, if you will. The ones who had absolute responsibility. They were looking. They didn't know what they were looking for. They were just looking. Wow. What glory we just beheld. Wow. Jesus just ascended into heaven. What would you be doing if you were standing there that day? The glory of the Lord. I don't know what they were feeling. I don't know how powerful, but it had to catch their attention, no question about it. But then two messengers were sent to them. The word of God was sent to them with direction. So what are you looking for? You need to go. And Jesus already told them to go. And I'm not going to get into all that But before I move any further, we get so caught up as Pentecostals. I'm talking to this church right now. Glory of God is in this place. We're so infatuated with God's glory and God's power, God's presence. And we forget that while God is moving, there are some that are looking for something. So my question tonight to you is, what are you looking for? Are you looking for another knockdown, drag out church service? Your legs can kick high and you run the aisles and roll the floor. Is that what you're looking for? Because we do that. We have that. That happens. I would submit to you that there is more than just that. Thank God for His presence when He moves. I don't want you to misunderstand what I'm saying. I'm not criticizing anybody that yields themselves to the Holy Ghost. But all of that, the glory that God shares with us, is so that those who are looking could find and experience it for themselves. What are you looking for? What did we come looking for tonight? I feel the Holy Ghost all over me. Amen. I feel like God is wanting to do something special. Amen. Because there are some who have come looking for Him, looking for a word from Him, looking for direction. And so I open these altars. If that's you, if you've come looking for something, amen, God is going to meet you in these altars and church. Amen. What are you looking for? Come on, come down and help the Lord. Amen. Do His work in this place tonight. Hallelujah. What are you looking for? Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. Go and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Go.